Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good evening. This is the night the Lord's made. And are we going to rejoice?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. And it's a great night to die. Woohoo. God is raising up the dead. Oh, what a mighty, mighty daddy. You know, he says something powerful. He says, I'm coming back for a blemish-free bride. That means we got to be clean. He's coming soon. But one of the ways he comes first, before he personally comes, he sends his presence first. So there will be a revival before he comes. There'll be a great move of God before he comes. See, there's revival now. But we haven't gotten the latter and early rain mix yet. But it's coming. It's like trickling. It's trickling, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to pour. It's going to pour. And when it comes, you're just going to say the word, bam, it's going to manifest. Oh, get ready. But you got to be in position. Amen. Many people who have doubt are going to see things. And they're going to want to follow those that want to, that believe and don't have doubt. And say, man, what happened to you? What's going on here? His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. That's what's going on here. And he left his spirit here. And he desires that no man perish, but every man not only be saved, but get baptized in the Holy Spirit so they can express him. That's why it's important to stay filled with the Spirit of the living God. It's not just about, you know, many people want to do things, but the first thing before we can do anything is to desire his will. See, so many times people jump ahead and do instead of wait for his will. Amen. And his will unfolds in our life. It unfolds. So there's things that we want to do, but there's things that he's saying, look it, I want you to fulfill my will first. See, because when you fulfill the will, then his promises are released. Now, what may be his will for you? His will for you today. There's a today will, amen. And sometimes there's a moment will. That's why it's required that you and I be in contact all the time. And his will has nothing to do with how you feel. So many people coordinate his will with how they feel. Well, this must be God's will because this is how I feel. Wrong. You're going to find that 99.2% of the time, how you feel ain't God's will. And then when we push that feeling, we make ourselves idiots. Amen? Well, it's got to be God. I feel it. Get behind me, feeling. It just must be. Believe me, I've heard people bet. I bet my life on it. I don't see them here today, but anyways. Praise God. I don't know where they are, but they are not here. Psalm 101, would you go with me, please? As a believer of Jesus the Christ, as a follower of Christ, there should be a place where you and I have a desire, and that desire is to please God. Amen? So that desire must always be before our desire. Why? Because that is the desire of the Spirit of God, is to please God. Is everybody with me? There is a desire that comes by the Spirit of God, and there's a desire that comes by your soul. Is everybody okay? And in this arena, when it's the desire of the Spirit, it's not an emotional thing. It is a desire with no feeling. It's a will. So when you cooperate with his desire of will, it's not about a feeling. There's a knowing. There's a knowing that you know you're pleasing God. But see, the soul can release an emotional desire because it's for self. And many people, many times, make that emotional desire a decision, instead of allowing the Spirit of the living God to release a desire with no emotion. Oh, does everybody get this? Look at this, ain't in my notes. Hallelujah. This is fresh rhema. Thank you, Master. In Psalm 101, would you speak it with me? I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a what? Perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house. What's the house? You. With a what? Perfect heart. Oh, man. With a what? perfect heart. That's tonight's teaching. A perfect heart. So what's he say? He says, look, I'm going to sing of your mercies and justice. Mercy is an acknowledgement that when you call on him, you're calling on him. So when you call on him, you're saying, Lord, have mercy upon me. In other words, consider me. Mercy is associated with consider. Lord, have mercy upon me. Consider me. And let your grace abound. What you're asking for is, Lord, consider me and allow your grace or your plan, according to your will, to unfold in my life. Because I'm willing. See, when you ask for mercy, you're saying, consider me because I will follow your plan. If you consider me, I'm going to follow your plan. That's what he's saying. That's what we're asking for. So there's many times we cried out for mercy, but we weren't willing to follow the plan. Amen. But his mercies are new every morning. Isn't that wonderful?
Praise God.
So in this, he said, I'm going to behave wisely in a what? Perfect way. Well, you can't behave wisely in a perfect way without a perfect heart. And he says, and I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. This is a heart that's set on the Lord. Amen. He said, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Why? Because he knows that it will contaminate. We've talked about this already. I hate the work of those who fall away. He didn't say he hated them. He said he hated the works of them. It shall not cling to me. In other words, I'm not going to let that fall on me. That means I'm not going to associate with those that are falling away. A perverse heart shall depart from me. Why? He knows it causes us to fall, to stumble, to be misled. A perverse heart is led by emotion. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know what? Wickedness. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will what? Destroy. The one who has a haughty look and proud heart, him I will not what? Endure. So there's a proud heart, isn't there? My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may what? Dwell with me. He who walks in a what? Perfect way. He who walks in a perfect way has a what? Perfect heart. He shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early will I destroy all the wicked of the land. Early. In other words, you're a first striker. You get up early to attack. That I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. Wherever God has placed you, it now becomes the city of the Lord. This is your Jerusalem. Amen. In other words, a perfect heart is always known as an individual that's is an obedient heart. A perfect heart is an obedient heart. Amen. What's a perfect heart? An obedient heart. Perfect heart in this house. It's a heart character. Remember, the heart is the character of your spirit. God has given you a new spirit, isn't he? And he's given you his spirit to cause you, to empower you, so that your heart is releasing the character of Christ. Now, heart in the Word of God, you'll see the word heart many times, and multiple times it has multiple meanings. Sometimes it's associated with the complete man. Sometimes it's associated with the heart of the soul. Sometimes it's the heart of the spirit. It's the heart of the flesh. Is everybody with me? Because every part of you, your being, has a certain character. But there's a heart of the spirit, which is supposed to be represented as the character of Christ. In Psalm 15. So if the desire to please God is there, then there should be a desire to maintain a clean, pure, and perfect heart. In Psalm 15, and we've spoken this before, but let's speak it together. Is everybody there? Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? And who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his what? In his heart. He speaks the truth in his heart. He doesn't justify. He doesn't reason. He allows truth to dictate his decisions. Amen? He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, and whose eyes a vile person is despised. Again, it's not about hating an individual. It's about despising those works. You don't want to associate with someone that is not working and producing the righteousness of Christ. Amen? It doesn't mean that you cut yourself off. It means that you don't associate. Does everybody understand? So when that person calls or cries out, you don't say, I don't want to talk to you. Boom. You lead them to Jesus every time. But there's no association. I've had people call me and tell me, I need to talk to you. I said, you need to talk to Jesus. You don't need to talk to me. I'm going to tell you exactly what's wrong. You're out of order and you need to get in order. You need to repent and get back in line with the Christ. And when you get back in line with Christ and you repent, then we'll talk. Other than that, there's no sense of you wasting time with me, because I'm going to tell you exact same thing over and over and over. Hello. And whose eyes a vile person is what? Despise. But he honors those who what? Fear the Lord. And anyone that's truly fearing the Lord will carry a perfect heart. If the fear of the Lord is constant in that person, he's carrying a perfect heart. And every decision, what is the fear of the Lord? It's a reverence and honor and respect. And that means that there must maintain connection to where the Lord is always before you. And you'll hear me say this over and over and over until I depart or you do. Or we all depart together. He who does... Okay, let's start at verse 4 again. Whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and doesn't change. In other words, he'd rather allow a hurt to come to them than change. In other words, that's talking about persecution, criticism, mocking. Who cares? I'm not changing. Amen? I'm not changing. I don't care what your desires are, what your feelings are. I'm not changing. Has everybody got this? You cannot be swayed by people. Never. Never. We are not swayed by humanites. Amen? But we get directed by eternal lights through the Spirit of the living God. So many people go to counsel to the world. It just blows me away. Especially married believers. They go to counsel to the world. It's amazing they won't go to the counsel of someone spirit-filled that casts out devils. But they'll go to the soulish counsel. Christian counseling, soulish counseling. Not all of it is that way, but 95% of it is. Most of it is just soulish counsel. They're still dealing in the soul, calling themselves Christians. They don't realize the first thing that needs to be done is, who told you that? And where did it come from? Do you know that your influence is not according to physical, but spiritual? Yes, and you do have a demon, but we can take care of that too. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 5. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall what? Never be moved. A perfect heart is immovable. When a person is carrying a perfect heart, that person is immovable, no matter what. Unchangeable. Steadfast. Why? Because that perfect heart is solid, united with the heart of Christ. Speaks truth in the heart. Amen? In other words, he can't be moved. You can't be moved with a perfect heart. We are hardcore connected. Everyone say, I'm hardcore connected. So one of the things that that person is going to do, because remember we talked about strike first. Amen? He realizes that the battle is against deception. Always against deception. Why? Because he wants to keep his heart perfect, pure. So the battle must be understood that our battle is always against deception. Anytime we allow deception in, it begins to contaminate. Amen? It turns the heart. I want you to look at the heart as a rudder. When you look at the heart as a rudder, if it's misled in any way, it goes off course. Amen? So when the heart is perfect, it's going straight forward. It doesn't look to the left or to the right. It's steadfast on the Lord no matter what. He brings us to that place. Is everybody okay? Ephesians chapter 4. So we battle against deception because we know deception is a major weapon. And when there's deception, the heart changes just like a rudder. And it goes in another direction. Praise God. Ephesians 4:11, please. What does it say? And he himself gave some to be what? apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the what? Equipping. Everyone say, I'm here to be equipped. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry. Everybody has a ministry. Wherever you are, the ministry is establishing. If you're at work, if you're at play, you're always in ministry. If you're at business, you're always in ministry. Businesses of believers should be ministries. Amen? If you're in school, you're in ministry. Why? Ministry means you're willing to allow the Spirit of the living God to minister to others by your conduct. Ministry. And then when the Lord gives you something to speak, you speak. Not because you felt it, but because you know it. Glory. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the what? Edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a what? A perfect man carries a perfect heart. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. Hallelujah. No, in other words, we're no more whining. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro or carried away with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may what? Will grow up in all things to him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes what? Growth of the body for the edifying itself in love. In love. In love. So perfect hearts, a perfect heart produces a perfect man. Amen. Now you may say, well, man, none of us can be perfect. You're right. We can't do it in our own. God's not looking at what you've done, where you've been, or even where you are now. He's looking at if the heart is willing. He's placing you in the future as a perfect man, even though you are in the present. Is everybody with me? In 1 John chapter 14. Oh, glory. That's why we live from the future, don't we? So if a person is truly living from the future, he's carrying a perfect heart. 1 John chapter 14. Oh, guy. Silly goose. Let's try something here. Okay. 1 John chapter 4. Out of the mouth of 16 witnesses. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Verse 17. Love has been what? Perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, wait a minute, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Now, wait a minute, aren't we blessed with every spiritual blessing seated in heavenly places and with Christ? So when in that part, we're perfect. But it says, as he is, so are we. So actually in this realm, we're perfect, not prideful. But he looks at us as perfect if we're living from the future. Amen? Therefore, there is no what? Fear in love. But what? Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. How many know guilt and condemnation is torment? Amen? Bitterness. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. A perfect heart always carries perfect love. There's no fear. Amen. Now, there are people out there that have no fear, which are idiots. Hello. They got no fear at all. Duh. You know, they don't even see the outcome of some of their decisions. No fear at all. And they blame somebody else for what they've done because there's no fear. Dum-dums. But there's a place where there's the fear of the Lord. Amen. But perfect love casts out fear that brings torment. And that fear is from an evil spirit. Has everybody got it? Because only spirits, evil spirits, bring torment. Now, there's a fear that's a protector. Amen? It says, get your hand out of the fire. Don't go in that building. Man, I'm afraid to go in there. Unless God sends you in there, don't go in there. And you better make sure God's sending you in there or you're going to cook. Amen. That's why many people say, oh, man, you know, the Lord's sending me to the crack house. 3 weeks later, hello, sending me to the bar. The Lord told me to go to the bar to follow the spouse. Oh, really? 3 days later, praise God. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Again, perfect love casts out all fear. But where there's perfect love, there's a perfect heart. Why? Because you're living from the future. Because as he is, so are you in this world. We love him because he first what? Loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Amen? So perfect love produces a perfect heart. Why? Because it always defeats lust and fear. It defeats what? Lust and fear. Colossians 3. Glory. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Let's speak it. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on what? Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, even if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. But above all these things, put on what? Love, which is the what? Bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Here is something important. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Again, it's the bond of perfection. The word of God dwells in us richly. That means that we should partake in the word of God. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4. Starting at verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being what? Mixed with faith in those who heard it. This faith here is known as trust. Trust. Not mixed with trust. Trust in who? Trust in what Christ did for you. Trust in his word. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since, therefore, it remains that some must enter in, and those whom it was first preached did not enter because of what? Disobedience. Why? Because disobedience is not a perfect heart, is it? Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will what? Hear his voice. When you hear, you do. If you listen, you just nod your head, but you ain't hearing. Yeah, 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 yeah. See ya. Really not hearing. Because when somebody hears, they do. But if they're not hearing, they just let it run. Amen? Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So when a person, believe it or not, is just listening, their heart is being hardened. Because when you hear, you receive and you do what? Execute. You do what he says. You do what the word says. You do what he speaks. Or you have a hardened heart. Verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward had spoken of another day. There remains therefore rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of what? Disobedience. For the word of God, that's why he said, let it dwell in you richly. Why? Because the word of God is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and spirit and joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it's going to begin, the Holy Spirit will use it to expose if you are hearing, if you are tentative. Amen? Is everybody okay? And he says, if it's not mixed with faith, trust, not hearing his voice or his word. The word is powerful and living. It does work. Amen? If you're truly hearing, but depending what you're hearing, amen? If you're hearing from the soul, from the spirit, from the flesh, what are you hearing from? Amen? And the results of that will be fruit, depending what kind of fruit you're producing. In Psalm 37, see, a hardened heart always blames someone else. Why? Because it bounces off. A hardened heart will always blame someone else for what they've done. Amen? Because it's not a perfect heart. And Psalm 37. How many of y'all know? Remember, we just talked about we are a self-contained entity in Christ. Everyone is responsible for maintaining his heart to be clean and perfect. Everyone's heart. That's why it's going to be set towards the Lord. But you got offended. Somebody said something bad about you. So what? What's God say about you? Amen? See, when a person's heart is hardened, then they always want to react in the arena and blame someone else. Or say, if this person could do it, well, then why can do it? And forget it, that God's not looking at the other people. He's looking at you. And you must allow the Holy Spirit to deal with you personally. That's why it's called personal relationship. Amen? Why? What's God trying to do? Keep your heart perfect. Why? So he can stay connected to you. Psalm 37, is everybody there? Verse 1. Do not fret because of what? Evildoers, no, be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Here it is. Are you ready? Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Let me tell you, a person that is delighting in the Lord and everything he does has a perfect heart. And his heart is not his heart. It's the heart of the Lord. So that's why he says, if you delight in me, you got my heart, man. And I'm going to give you desires of your heart because it's my desires. See, he's not looking to give you your desires. He's looking to give him his desires through you. Why? So his will can manifest in this realm. Now, some of these desires, you got to understand. It's, and don't get religious. You know, his desire for you may to have a Mercedes. You mean I can ask? I didn't say you're going to go out and ask for them. What is your desire, Lord? I'll never forget when the Lord told me it's time for a motorcycle. I'm telling you, I rejected that for a month. And I kept hearing witness plate. And then I got confirmation from two other people. And I'm like, what the heck? And then we got the witness plate. But in the beginning, it was not, I don't want to say my desire, but he put this desire in me. And I kept rejecting it. Does everybody understand? It wasn't a feeling. Does everybody got this? See, because desires are so many times associated with a want, and a desire is associated with a feeling. I feel this, so I want this. But when it's from God, it's not a feeling to want. It's a desire to please him. Does everybody get this? Some of you are looking a little, what the heck's he talking about? That's why you need the Holy Ghost. That's why you need to be filled to absorb this. Amen? Glory. Now, he says something powerful here. Are you ready? Verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. And he shall what? Bring it to pass. So when it comes, you're like, Lord, is this you? Why you give me this desire? I'll never forget this desire that he gave me one day. And I think you heard it. It was a dead bird. Thing fell out of the tree dead. I walked over to one of those big blue jays, and I bent down and I looked at it, and I loved this bird. All of a sudden, the love of God came on me, and I'm like, I love this bird. I don't know why I love this bird. And I said to the Lord, Lord, why are you giving me love for this bird? It's dead. So I picked it up, and I don't go around picking up dead things. Yeah. And I picked it up in my hands, and I said, I don't know why you give me love for this bird. And all of a sudden, poof, flew out of my hand. Because he wanted he was showing me his love heals. I thought, wow. Does everybody get this? I mean, it just comes on, man. It's like, whoa, but it's God's love. Love. Desire to love. See, so when we serve in ministry and do things, it should be backed by love. When we make decisions, it should be backed by love for God. Has everybody got this? Even when there's correction, it should be backed by the love of God. You idiot, I love you. Try to start with, I love you, you idiot. Praise God. All right, let's go a little further. This is getting fun. Are you okay? Is everybody cool? Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and it shall come to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as a light and your justice as a noonday. Rest in the Lord and what? Wait patiently for him. You know, we have the tendency to always want to say whatever we got to say instead of waiting. Then we find out when we said all what we had to say, we found out, oh gosh, what an idiot I was. But God still loves me. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath, and do not fret. It only causes what? It causes harm. So everybody got it. Everybody cool? Delight in him, and he gives you the desires of your heart, because it's his desires, isn't it? Amen? That's why you ask him, Lord, is this you? Is this desire from you? I always ask him, Lord, is this desire from you? I want you to do this. Is this you, Dad? Okay. And he gives you, always gives you confirmation. Amen? Acts 13. And if you get a desire, and you go, and he says, I want you to speak to this person, and that person hits you over the head with a purse, it wasn't God. And he forgives you. And when we go out to eat, you know, I mean, all of a sudden the spirit come on, and we'll be sitting there, and my family will look at me, and my daughter's going, oh, Dad, what are you going to do? And I won't say nothing, because I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. And she's going, Dad, what are you going to do? She can see it, because I'm hearing. You know, kids are always afraid you're going to embarrass them, you know. What's he going to do here? Stand up on a table and start preaching? But anyways, when the voice of the Lord was perfectly heard, I did what I was told to do, and it was received with great joy and so forth. And everybody was happy to get me out of the restaurant. Praise God. Hallelujah. They made a quick dash to the car. Acts 13, verse 21. Where am I, man? Acts 13, verse 21. Okay. Let's speak it. And afterward, they asked for a king. So God gave them who? Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. See, a man after God's heart carries a perfect heart. Why? Because he will do all he's asked. Remember, a perfect heart is associated with obedience. Amen? Is everybody okay? Let's go a little further. Psalm 11. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on the cool of an evening on Tuesday night. Didn't you miss this coolness? Praise God. Psalm 11. I don't think I got anyone to read with me on that one, but praise God. Let's speak it together. Verse 1. In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow to make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright where? And not hard. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone and burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous, he loves righteousness, his countenance upholds the upright. So we have a man after God's own heart, amen? But the wicked are always trying to shoot at your heart. Why? To change direction. He shoots an arrow, he'll shoot a dart, and then he'll shoot a harpoon. Either way, he doesn't quit. They do not give up. They're constantly trying to shoot, you know. And what they're always trying to redirect by either lust or fear or something or offense or whatever. How many of y'all know offense can redirect a heart? Amen. Bitterness, amen, can redirect a heart quickly. So in this, the heart must be protected. Ephesians 6. In verse 10, Ephesians 6, verse 10, and let's speak it together, please. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the trickery of the devil or the deception of the devil. Remember, we are battlers. We are battling deception. Amen? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Are you ready? He says, stand therefore, having what? Gird your waist with truth. Where does he desire truth? In the inward parts, doesn't he? Amen. Having put on the breastplate of what? Righteousness. So what protects the heart? Righteousness. Amen. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, look at this, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit or in tongues, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Again, the breastplate of righteousness which protects the heart. Why? Because there's either works of righteousness or works of lawlessness. Amen? And the faith is that shield. That's the area where you trust. You're trusting God in everything. And where the enemy is trying to send a fiery dart because you trust God. Amen? It was counted as righteousness to Abraham, because God spoke and Abraham obeyed. And it was also, now look at the righteousness, was actually the fruit of faith. So when Abraham obeyed, that means he moved, he did something. So he stepped out in faith, because what he heard, he saw. What he saw, he did. And his act of obeying produced righteousness. Is everybody with me? It produced what? Righteousness. But it wasn't our righteousness, it's the righteousness of God that flows through us. Why? Because obedience is a desired requirement to produce righteousness. Amen? And if obedience is there, then a person that's carrying and desiring obedience is carrying a what? Perfect heart. Hallelujah. Galatians 2. Oh, hallelujah. Galatians 2:11. Now, Paul was about to, I don't want to say have a conflict, but he was about to get face-to-face with Peter, because Peter was doing something that was incorrect. In verse 11, it says, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing. Well, there's that fearing. Remember, fear will always cause a what? Heart to shift, won't it? He was fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith or what? Trust in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again on those things which I destroyed, are you hearing this? I make myself a what? Transgressor. In other words, where people begin to build again on things that God's delivered them from. Amen? He says that's called transgressing. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. Verse 20, read it with me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Wow. Very, very powerful. Faith in Christ is trust in Christ as complete and perfect work of salvation for all mankind, for anyone willing to follow. Amen? Again, righteousness is established by obedience in Christ, not works. Not works. It's obedience. See, many people go out and do works, but God didn't tell them to go do it. Amen? So even you and I are out working unto the Lord, we're laboring unto the Lord, aren't we? Amen? No matter what is going on. So in this righteousness established by obedience brings a perfect heart. Is everybody okay? Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 14. In verse 1, Ezekiel 14:1 says, now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts. Idols in the heart will definitely bring another direction. And put before them that which causes them to what? Stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired at that of all by them? Therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel who sets up his idol in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by their heart, because they are all strained from me by their what? By their idols. How many all know that? What's the greatest idol? Amen. We are. It's the I syndrome. So we can set up that idol. And remember, once that idol is set, the idol of self, we're allowing the idol of self to be set, then it's going to constantly bring desires, isn't it? But those desires will always be attached to emotions. Remember, spirits get fed by what? Emotion. Idols in the heart, emotional desires not directed from God. Jeremiah 17. In verse 5. Thus says the Lord, curses the man who what? Trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. See, the heart will always depart from the Lord when you put yourself first. For he shall be like a what? Shrub in the desert, shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and the salt land which is not inhabited. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and he will not be what? Anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Verse 9, are you ready? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the thoughts. That word mind means thoughts. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Does everybody get that? So your heart can be very deceitful, can't it? If you allow it. The only reason why it becomes deceitful because it's backed off from being perfect. Then it becomes what? Deceitful. Remember, it's either a perfect heart that's set on the Lord, or it's a hardened heart that is deceitful. One or the other. And it's going to use as a rudder, isn't it? And you're going to begin to follow things that are self-pleasing instead of the things that are Him-pleasing. Oh, hallelujah. Heart can be deceitful above all things. That's why God searches the heart and the thoughts. Why? They are thoughts of emotional desires. Amen? Remember, the devil pushes. The Holy Spirit does what? Lead. 2 Corinthians 6. You ever have an emotional push? It's not God. You know, I've known some people that have been walking with the Lord for many years. And they get an emotional push, and they begin to get themselves yoked with unbelievers in business. And they're always trying to, they justify everything. Well, God sent me to do this. Oh, we're going to make a lot of money. I don't say nothing, because I've seen it over and over and over. You know what happens? They usually get thrown out. They get cut loose. Why? Because they're being used. Listen, we're the blessed. Amen? We're blessed. So wherever we go, as long as we have a perfect heart, there'll be blessing. Amen? And even God blesses the children of the blessed, even when they're not right. Does everybody get it? So in this, that blessing is passed down, even though the people are not right, even though that their heart's not right, they'll still be blessed to a certain degree. But then the blessing usually ends up turning into a curse after a certain period of time. But in this, I've known individuals multiple, and you know, I would tell them, man, why, you know, don't be unevenly yoked. And they would call and ask my opinion, but they'd still continue on, and then it would just end, and then it would start all over again. Well, man, I met this other person, man. Let me tell you, and the same thing happens over again, because God doesn't want us to be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. He says, come out from among them, doesn't He? Amen. So he says something very powerful here. Look at verse 11 in 2 Corinthians 6. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. Verse 12, read it with me. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own what? Affections. Those mean emotional desires. You're restricted. Does everybody get it? Restricted. Because your heart is being set on another course. It's not perfect anymore. So he says, now in return for the same, I speak to you as children. Why? Because that's how children act. Tossed to and fro, aren't they? Every emotion, everything they hear. Do not be what? Unevenly yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship is righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has with what? For what fellowship is righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion is light with darkness? And what accord is Christ with Belial? Or what part is a believer with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. In other words, you are that house. I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God. They will be my people if they do this. If they come out from among them. And be what? Separate. That word separate means sanctified, says the Lord. And do not what? Touch. Do not touch. Do not agree with what? What is unclean. And I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In other words, perfecting a perfect heart. And I want to close it, Psalm 51. In verse 1, Psalm 51, verse 1. Let's speak it together. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall what? Show forth your praise, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. It's a humble and dependent heart. A humble and dependent heart. What is your dependent on? Him. Amen. It's something that we strive for, is not only to get a perfect heart, but maintain a perfect heart. Again, we are not perfect in our own self at all. We are only perfect and complete in Him by living from the future, even though we are in the present. Amen? A perfect heart, humble and contrite. That means humble and broken. Broken, knowing that you are dependent completely on Him in everything you do. That's why He says, acknowledge me in all of your ways, and I will establish your steps. Amen. So keep our hearts set towards Him. Constantly examine yourself, because God will always expose the impurities. Amen. Father, we are honored and blessed. Thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, any areas, Lord, we have allowed contamination in our hearts, which is the rudder that's been turned in another course. Lord, set us back on course, that we are going straight, that our heart is set towards you. Dress us with the full armor of God, and keep the breastplate of righteousness over our heart and the shield of faith, where we trust in you in everything we do to quench every fiery dart, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Be blessed and stay dressed with his glory.